Hello, everyone, and welcome on the Truly Mojo podcast, where we share stories of people, entrepreneurs, artists, businesses, stories that inspire, connect, and possibly motivate you. I'm your host, Joel Fernandez, and we're back with another episode. Today, we'll be talking about what it's like to be a DJ and lots more. Well, you see, BPM is the name of the game. It governs how your body moves, and it's the DJ's job to get the crowd out of their heads and into their body. Our guest on the show is a DJ who loves mixing music and used to play at Mix Grand Hyatt, one of the biggest clubs of Dubai. He loves traveling. Ladies and gentlemen, please help me welcome Finian Alvarez. Hey, Finian, welcome on the Truly Mojo podcast. Super excited to have you on the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you for having me on the show.
It's an honor. So, Finian, tell us, what is music to you?
So, music for me, it really is, it's an emotion, actually. I mean, it's like anything around me is music. You know, a thing like birds chirping, you walk through the forest, the breeze with the trees. That's music, actually, for me. It's all about the moment, the emotion, and I think that's what makes you feel happy.
Right. You know? Finian, tell us your story on how you got into DJing and what fascinates you.
I think I got into music as a kid, actually. So... We've come from like a music family. So we grew up as a joint family. And before going to school, I mean, like getting ready for school, we used to have like the radio on. And so we had one singer in the house. We had like one uncle who's to literally like entertain us and everything. So it was, my dad's a good musician also. And I think for me, it started all off at a party when I was eight. And I just basically do some random cassettes and at a party. And that guy was like, whoa, you play some good music. And I was... I was in the eighth grade. But I think that's how it all started. And then it just basically went on and on from there.
So what genre of music do you listen to?
I think it's everything, actually. So, I mean, I listen to a lot of house, deep house. But I think if you ask me what I've played all the way from Bollywood to techno to hip hop, all the way to drum and bass. You name it, actually. All the genres possible, actually.
So, Finian, what is BPM, beat matching, transitions, the drop? Are this important in music? And I've heard a lot about this while DJing and all the stuff. They talk about BPM. So, fill us in.
So, BPM basically stands for beats per minute. It's all about the thump, like one, two, three. So, every like 60 seconds you have, or 14 seconds, you're like, dum, dum, dum. That's your beats per minute. Different genres, like a hip hop will have like a 4x4 bar, or a house tune will have like a 15 bar. But it all basically is thump. Like, you know, you'll have like a hip-hop track go like boom, chick, boom, boom, chick. And a house track will go like boom, boom, boom. So that's your beats per minute. And how do DJs basically calculate it? I mean, it's more like a feel. You know, in time, you basically just understand how the transitions basically work. And the whole thing about the transitions with the DJ is making sure that nobody knows when the track changes. And that's a good thing about a DJ, basically. Like the entire night, they go with the entire flow, like with the 120 BPM all the way to 140, for example. Like taking you into that zone, it's like the job of the DJ, and make sure that you have a good time.
Interesting. So you said the DJ, you know, plans the music and makes sure that he produces that flow for the people to dance on. But how important is to plan these DJ sets from the beginning? What do they have to keep in mind?
I mean, there are two kinds of things what you can see. If it's your club night, so you know exactly the crowds are going to be coming in. So by default, it's going to be like your house music night. So you know for a fact that you have your club bangers. And then, of course, the main part about a DJ is introducing new music. That's the whole idea. To make the crowd like listen to the music they never heard before. And to get a better understanding, like this song is going to make a difference tonight, like so that's basically, I think, the DJ's main job is to basically plan and to make sure that this particular track is going to basically work tonight that way.
So how do you plan your music flow? Like, you have some sort of a playlist that you have to keep planned, or do you keep ready or something like that?
I've got like 10,000 songs. You know, I'm not going to basically go through that, but I've been listening to music like almost every day. So I know exactly like what's going to work tonight. But at the same time, if you're going to be doing like a 6 hour set or 7 hour set, you really don't make a playlist. You just basically go with the flow, and you know exactly like where your tracks are and what's going to just be there. You don't have to like go like one, two, three. You just basically go with the flow the entire night.
And I remember when I've been sort of DJing, a bedroom DJ, but then I also DJ for small parties, you know, playing jive music, playing party music, buddy dance and all this stuff. So these are the music that we play generally at our parties, kind of the family parties. But then there is sometimes someone comes up to you saying, Joel, can you play for me this track? And probably don't have that track on your list. So what would you say in that case? If anyone has anyone approached you during a set or a live gig saying, Finian, can you play this track for me? How do you process that?
15 years back, I could say that I don't have the song. But okay, at this era right now in 2021, 2022, you can just basically get everything off the internet.
Okay.
At a click.
Okay.
So that's not a problem at all.
That's interesting. Okay, Finian, tell us any crazy incident you'd like to share with us during your DJing.
At the top of my mind, I think I have a lot, but I think I will start off something when I started DJing, like around maybe 15 years ago. I just got into like DJing and stuff, and I was still doing all these commercial parties, okay, nothing into the club because I was still below the age of 21.
Okay.
So I went to this one party. I was with the promoter, and okay, he sent me to Ballroom in Dubai, and I started DJing.
Mm-hmm.
And the crowd, I was told that the crowd was going to be Indian crowd, but okay, I can see like a lot of white folks around, and I was playing like a good chilled, more like a chilled deep house set, and okay, everybody was like, all right. And after a good 40-45 minutes, I can see another DJ coming in. He's like, what are you doing here?
Okay.
And I was like, well, I'm working. He's like, but I'm supposed to be here. And I was like, oh, are we from the same company?
Okay.
And it turns out to be I was supposed to be in Ballroom B,
okay,
and not Ballroom A.
Okay.
And that was like a big mix-up. But at the same time, the crowd had no idea I was supposed to be there or not. But yeah, it was a fun experience, actually.
That's nice. Okay, Finian, next, what is a nightmare that any DJ could have?
The worst nightmare is your music shutting down or your DJ gear shutting down.
Okay.
But good you asked me this. So there was one incident. I was at a private party.
Okay.
It was a friend's private party. And I have this thing habit of making sure that my gear is way far from everybody. So
okay,
everything's on a stand. Make sure everything's protected. There was this one night, I think it was around 4 o'clock in the morning, and then somebody basically came up with a drink,
mm-hmm,
and everything basically just spilled on my laptop.
Oh.
I think for 4 to 5 minutes, I was in a shock.
Anybody
because,
would, yeah.
Because what, I had like around 10,000 songs in that.
Yeah.
Everything shut down. And I was fuming at this person. And I was like, what am I going to do to you?
Okay.
So, but of course, like I was like, you know what? Okay, it happens. Not a problem. USB's out. Went into the CDJs. It took me 3 to 4 days to get my laptop fixed. Put it in rice.
Rice, yeah.
That's what it sort of worked. And then after
traditional method.
Then after that, I gave it to repairs. It finally worked. Music's back on track. But those 5 minutes were... Yeah.
I understand. So what are the equipments you use while DJing?
Before I used to use a CDJs, 2000s, but now I'm going to Traktor because it's more portable.
Okay.
It's more easier to carry, move around. But it goes into my backpack easily.
Okay.
But it depends. Now everything's on a USB also. So most of the time the clubs, the promoters basically will always have the equipment on spot, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I prefer to basically just carry my own stuff. And just one MacBook or a USB.
Okay.
Or the controller.
Okay. And for those starting out as a DJ, what are the equipments that they should have or carry or start off with?
I mean, first is getting the basic idea of understanding music, actually. You know,
mm-hmm,
like anybody can be a DJ. Like I started off DJing, I never had a DJ equipment. My thing was cassettes.
Yeah.
But my main thing basically was understanding what's going to come next. Is the crowd going to basically like this? And I didn't start off like in a house party or house music. I started like, for example, jive music.
Yeah.
Or the Macarena, for example.
Yeah.
Or the Masala, for
Masala,
example.
Yes.
But it was more about understanding what the crowd is going to basically like next.
Yeah.
And as long as you can get the idea of music, you know, there is no stopping you. I mean, it purely depends again on your budget. You can get the best controllers like a DDJ 400, a Pioneer, which is the most smallest controller. All what you can do is cue, play,
mm-hmm,
and you're good. Then you go to the high-end controllers, which is your CDJs, the 2000s or the 3000s, which you can do miracles with that.
Okay.
But if you want to start off with as a beginner, I think a DDJ 400 or a Traktor K2, which is just a basic controller.
Okay.
But you can do wonders with that. It basically works with the software. So
mm-hmm,
a Pioneer will work with the Pioneer DJ, and then you also have the Traktor control, Traktor Pro, for example.
Okay.
And so all the music basically just comes from your laptop, and that's how you do it. CDs,
mm-hmm,
your regular CDs are like gone back. Now you can just do everything from your laptop itself.
Okay, that's nice. I've been noticing that, you know, when DJs play music, okay, they take you on this elevation. The music builds up and then suddenly there's a drop and then people go hysterical and then they act like zombies, you know. Do you do that? I mean, I'm sure that is kind of
not
a thing.
Not really. I mean, I used to when I was back in the clubs, of course. So, okay. But it was never like a Steve Aoki moment or something that I'm going to be like throw cake on your face or something. Okay. No, nothing like that. But then a drop is always good. Just basically get the crowd pumped up. Mm-hmm. And it's just basically like getting you like a small break, especially if it's a bigger crowd. Like mm-hmm. You have like around 2,000, 3,000 people. Mm-hmm. And then everybody's like together. So that whole emotion, everybody's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Now everybody's going to like jump together. So that's, I think it's nice. It just is a good feeling.
Right. Interesting. Yeah. There's another one. Does a DJ have to be perfect or is it the selection of songs or the perfect beat matching?
I can say both, actually. You can do beat matching and you can play the most bogus tracks and the DJ will be like, or the crowd will be like, what is he playing? But at the same time, you can just basically be like, I mean, a transition can go like from 5 seconds and play like a really good track.
Right.
So it again depends. I've known people also like you who have excellent transition, but the music selection is just like terribly bad.
Right.
But at the same time, I've heard DJs also like they're playing bangers and they're playing some new music which I haven't even heard, but the transition was bad. But at the same time, you know what? Okay, it's fine. It's not a big deal. But it again depends on basically where you're playing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're playing at a high-end club or a concert, for example, you can't afford to make a mistake because the crowd will be like, what's happening?
Yeah.
But is it important to basically, if I come at a house party,
mm-hmm.
is it important to basically do the perfect beat match? I mean, like, honestly speaking, no. But
okay.
If you're in a club, then yes.
So how do you read the crowd?
It's all about, I mean, like I said, the DJ basically makes sure that the crowd has to listen to me.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
You know, it's not like I'm going to listen to the crowd. It's never been like the crowd will be like, okay, this is what you play, and then I'm going to dance. I mean, the whole job of a DJ is to basically make you dance, not make the DJ dance. And that's how it works, actually. And yeah,
amazing. Okay, Finian, my next question to you is: should one join a DJ course or learn on YouTube? What's your take on that?
YouTube, you can. I mean, basically, just get the basic information. But then again, end of the day, it's again like what was the first question? Like, what is beats per minute? If you can get the idea that this is beats per minute, like, you know, a 120 track, for example, a 120 BPM. How do I match it with a 123 BPM? You know, if you can get the hang of that, I started DJing like 15, 16 years ago. There were DJs before me. Mm-hmm. Started like around 20, 30, 40 years ago. There was no YouTube that time.
Right.
But yes, there are DJ schools right now who can basically teach you that. It is fine. You can go for it. It's not like, oh, you went to a DJ school and you're learning on a computer. It's wrong. It's perfectly fine. I mean, both platforms are okay. But end of the day is, can you basically grasp it?
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. My next question is, what feeling do you get when you play the best track and there's no one dancing onto your music?
I have come across that a lot of times.
Okay.
Like I said, I like to introduce a lot of new music. So I wouldn't say I started off, but then I used to play on the radio on Bollywood station 101.6. And I had this thing about track 115. And that was live. It used to happen like every Friday night. I used to be at this club called Nitro. And this was around 16 years ago, roughly.
Okay.
And I had this thing about I'm going to introduce new music. It used to work sometimes. There was this one track. I'm like, all right, guys, track 115. And everybody would be like waiting.
Okay.
And I played this track and I got like zero response.
Okay.
And the thing is, I was in touch with the radio people also, so I gave them the track. And then they played it the next day. It became a super hit.
Okay.
But I played it, I was like, damn. Like,
yeah.
But yeah.
That's
sometimes it's more like a, ouch. I think I should have just waited or something.
Great. So Finian, you also DJ on an online platform known as Crooked Noise. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so Crooked Noise started roughly around 2 years ago. We are like friends DJing like long, long time back ago. And we decided that, you know, let's do an online platform. Get to know other DJs from the other side of the world, which we did actually. So they come and basically perform on our page. We perform on their page. We are five of us right now. So we are a DJ called Oren, who's a really good producer. He's got his music on Beatport.
Okay.
We got another DJ called Swaggy. We got Ronzi. We got A-Code. And of course, myself, Fanny. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and we go by Crooked Noise.
Okay.
And we do regular gigs, like it's either live or we do basically like share our music on our Facebook page. And we do like a long sets. Like it's more about the deep house sets and all. And then also we showcase our international DJs, which we do almost every second week.
Mm-hmm.
And we got DJs all the way from Argentina, we got from Mexico, we got from the UK especially,
mm-hmm.
and India. And soon we're planning to start our own parties basically in a club actually. Hopefully that's going to be pretty soon. So
that's interesting. I'll leave the links in the show notes. But if anybody wants to reach out to you, how do they do that?
Oh, so I got my page called Therapy Sounds. It's on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
I started off a YouTube page also called Therapy Sounds, but I basically started putting my music out there. And Instagram, yeah, so that's Therapy, which is therapy_sounds Sounds.
Okay.
And yeah, it's got like a lot of my live sets, my live music, just basically starting my production. So you can basically catch me there.
Amazing. I'll leave the links of that as well on the show notes. So Finian, how do you balance work and doing your DJ stuff?
I started work at a pretty young age, actually. That is DJing and working also. Okay. I think I started DJing at the age, professionally, as at the age of 18.
Okay.
And also started working also. So my day job would finish around 6. After that, from the club, from 9 to 3. So I had to basically make a fixed sleep schedule.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you get everything right, you make sure that you basically have your timetable perfect, you know, it's fine. But it does take a toll to your body sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's what the weekend off is there for.
Right. That's interesting. So Finian, what's your message to DJs out there who want to take up DJing as a profession?
I think it's fun. I mean, as long as you've got the knowledge of music, for sure, go for it. Most important, I think, right now is if you want to make it really big as a DJ, get into production. You take any big DJ right now, I mean, you have to basically get your music out there. You have to get your own parties out there. People basically need to get to know you. You need to get yourself exposed. And the best platform to basically do it is get your own music out there. Because if you don't have your own, like an identity, for example, you know, nobody's basically going to know you. Just being a regular DJ in a house or a club is not going to basically make a change. But yes, I mean, if you have the talent, if you have the love for music, I would highly recommend it. Go for it. You know, it's like a wow feeling.
Amazing. Thank you, Finian, for joining us on this episode. It was really nice talking to you.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, at the Mojo Podcast. I hope you had a good listen and looking forward to basically seeing a lot of one of my gigs.
Awesome. Well, that's a wrap, ladies and gentlemen, of this episode. If you do have any questions, do send me an email on jazzyjoel85@gmail.com. And if this episode has helped you, your friends, family, or loved ones in any way, do share it and like it on the platforms that you listen to your podcast. Until next time, talk to you all soon.